Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you. For those who have got no idea who I am, my name is Andy Fuller. I'm associate minister here, but also the minister of Malden Manor Community Church, a church that we planted from this place in Malden Manor, about 2 miles that way, in September, just over a year ago. So thank you for your prayers. Keep praying for us in Malden Manor, please. We do need them. And we do appreciate your fellowship with us, your partnership in the gospel with us. Also, hello from Emily. Thank you for those who are praying for our daughter Emily, who's in India for 6 months with BMS. We spoke to her on Friday, and she's conscious that she's just over 2 months left before she comes back to this country. And she was saying, I really don't want to come home. So I was like, thanks a lot. And she's like, well, no, I do want to come home, maybe for a week to say hi to you, and then I want to come back again. So thank you for those of you who've been praying for her. She's thriving in that place and seeking to serve God and share Jesus with people in India, in Calcutta. So thank you. Keep praying for her too. That'll be great. There's some small group notes here. I'll leave them on the table for people who need those. If you have your Bible, please do grab it now. If you'd like one, wave your hand in the air. If I missed that already, perhaps the stewards have been around. Or if it's an electronic one, switch it on and turn to Genesis chapter 28. If you've got one of the red Bibles from the front here, that's on page 30 in those Bibles. And we're going to read from Genesis chapter 28, beginning at verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And there above it, or there beside him, stood the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you're lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you, and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. And I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob woke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone that he'd placed under his head and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. And then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I've set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Please keep that open. We're going to refer to it as we spend a few minutes thinking about that together this morning. I want to begin by asking a question. I'm just going to switch this on, make it come up on the screen as well, hopefully. This isn't going to work. There we go. This is the question. Why are you here? Why are you right here in this place this morning? I'm guessing for some of you, you're here because of other people. That a friend or a family member has invited you to come along, twisted your arm maybe to come along this morning. And the reason that you're here is actually more to do with your relationship with them than it is to do with any kind of relationship with God. Because at the moment, God is their God rather than your God. And if that's you in this place this morning, then we want you to know it is so fantastic that you're here. Of all the choices that you could have made of things to do this morning, it is brilliant that you've chosen to come here today. And I believe that there's something in this passage that's going to speak to you this morning. Maybe you're here because this is what you do on a Sunday. You are a Christian. You would say that God is your God and that this is God's place. And so you come here to meet with him, to hear from him every Sunday, whenever you can. This passage has got something for you today. Maybe some of you are here because you live with this awareness that God is everywhere. And there is nowhere that you can go to escape his presence. And coming here on a Sunday is somehow an extension of that. There is something about meeting together with God's people, worshiping together with them, which means that God's presence somehow becomes more available, more tangible to you. If that's you, then this passage has something to say to you too today. So let's take a look at it. This is the next episode in the life of Jacob that we've been following week by week here on Sunday mornings. And it's the start of a journey for him away from his family. In verse 2, which we didn't read, Isaac, his dad, says, I want you to go and find yourself a wife. I don't want you to marry one of the local women around here who don't trust in God. Go and find a wife. That's part of the reason for his journey. But the main reason for Jacob's journey is the fact that his brother Esau is planning to kill him. So he's actually running for his life. You see, Jacob has schemed and has deceived and has lied and has cheated his brother out of his birthright, out of the father's blessing that should have been given to Esau. And so at the end of chapter 27, in verse 41, we read Esau is so angry that he says, as soon as dad's died, as soon as he's out of the way, I am going to kill my brother Jacob. And so from verse 10, as we read, Jacob sets out on this journey, this long journey. It's going to take him a long time to get there. And he is leaving behind everything that's familiar. He's leaving behind his family. He's leaving behind their God. Because in that day, most people considered gods to be regional gods. So to put it in our terms, it would be like the people in Kingston, the tribe who live in Kingston, they have their God, and he does his thing in Kingston. Here in New Malden, we have our New Malden God, and he kind of operates around here. If you go to Worcester Park, then the tribe who live in Worcester Park have a different God down there, and he kind of operates in that area. And so Jacob is walking away from all the God stuff of his father and his grandfather. He's leaving the Beersheba God, and he's heading off somewhere new. And the first night, he checks into the Hard Rock Hotel. A bit of open ground with a rock for a pillow. And somehow he manages to fall asleep, even though he's lying on a rock. And when he does, he has a dream. In verse 12, we read Jacob had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And there above it, or if you look in the footnote, another way of translating those words are beside him, which actually I prefer because he says later on, God was here. Beside him stood the Lord, and he spoke to Jacob. So he's alone, he's in an unfamiliar place, he's distressed, and God is so gracious to him. God visits him. Jacob doesn't deserve anything from God, does he? If you've been here over these last few weeks, you know what he's like. You know the things that he's done. He's not even looking for anything from God. He's not asking for anything from God. He's asleep. God's so gracious, isn't he? He's ready to give what we don't deserve. And Jacob sees this stairway linking heaven to earth with God's messengers traveling backwards and forwards on it. And this is long before the days of the tabernacle or the temple. It's the days of kind of the homeland God. And even though he's away from his homeland, God is showing Jacob, you know what, I'm not restricted to one little place. Even here, in this nowhere place, a certain place is all we're told about it. God is present. God is here. God can speak. Which is exactly what God does. And he says three big things to Jacob in this dream. In verse 13, there beside him stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I am their God. I'm the God who spoke to them. I'm the God who made promises to them. I'm the God who gave Abraham a son in his old age when it was impossible. I am the God who provided the sheep on the mountain when Abraham took Isaac to sacrifice him to God. Do you remember, Jacob? Do you remember when they told you those stories? I'm the God who blessed them. I'm the God who provided a wife for Isaac in an amazing way. All these things that they've told you, Jacob, they are all true. I am true. I am their God. I wonder who it was who told you about their God. I wonder who it was who introduced you to him, who introduced you to his son Jesus. For me, it was my mum and dad, the God of Keith and Janet. It was my youth leader, the God of Brian. It was my pastor, the God of Morris. We've heard from Johnny, haven't we? It was the God of his mum. I wonder who it was for you. I wonder who it is for you right now today. If you're here because someone else has brought you here, that at the moment God is their God, not your God, I want you to know something, that they are God's gift to you. You might not want to tell them that, because they might start getting a bit big-headed. But I'm so thankful for the people who told me about their God. This true and living God who'd done the wonderful things that are recorded for us in this Bible, who was still doing wonderful things in their lives every single day. This is my mum and dad. And I could see growing up how God would speak to them. I could see that God was with them through the stuff that they went through, the good things and the hard things that life brought their way. When life was unbelievably stressful, I knew that God was with them in it. As they faced the death of their own parents, I could see how God was with them in it. When they themselves got sick and were facing the end of this part of their lives, I could see that God was with them in it. My youth leader, I haven't got a photo of him, but looking back, I can see everything that he sacrificed. So much of his time and his energy for me and for my friends as we were growing up, so that we would grow and develop and mature and have great fun when we did it, but all the way through that we would know that God was there and that God loved us, God loved me. My pastor, who lived a life of deep, thoughtful, thought-out faith that was full of laughter, and I wanted that. It was such a powerful witness to me, such a wonderful gift. They were God's gift to me. They told me about their God. And Jacob had his dad and his granddad, Abraham and Isaac, who told him about their God. And now their God, the one that he's heard everything about, is now speaking to him. Maybe that's true for you. Maybe that's true for you right now. You came in here with somebody for whom this is their God, and you hear him speaking to you now. And the reason for that, the reason that Jacob hears God speaking to him, is because God doesn't just want to be their God, he wants to be your God. It's said that God has got billions of children, but he hasn't got any grandchildren. Because each one of us need to trust him for ourselves. It's not enough for someone else to trust him kind of on our behalf. And so sure enough, that's what God wants to talk to Jacob about. In verse 13, we read, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. And now I'm speaking to you, Jacob. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you're lying. Your descendants will be the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and the east and the north and the south. All the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am their God, Jacob, but I want to be your God. I want to talk about me and you, Jacob, because I've got wonderful plans for me and you. I've got promises and blessings and gifts that I want to give for you, and that through you that will spread beyond you and will bless the whole world. I want to be your God. and for you and your family to be my people, and that we have this covenant through which the whole world are going to be blessed. It's not just a covenant for your dad and for your granddad. I want it to be worked out through you, Jacob. How about it? I know that you're on the run. I know you've made some bad choices. I know you've done some terrible things, but you know what? Together, me and you, Jacob, we can have a fresh start. We can start something amazing. This is called grace. God's grace. Jacob doesn't deserve it. He hasn't earned it. This is the gift of God. It is God's idea. It is God's initiative. It is God's grace. I don't only want to be their God, Jacob. I want to be your God. And just as Jacob is offered amazing things, he's offered land, he's offered descendants, he's offered blessing. So you and I are offered an inheritance in God's kingdom that will last forever. We are offered adoption into his family with the full rights of a child of God. We are offered the blessings of forgiveness and cleansing and freedom and eternal life with this God. That's what he offers you. And he says, how about it? How about it? What do you say? This can be yours, not just theirs, this can be yours. If you've got questions, ask them. Let's see if we can find answers. If you've got doubts, let's hear them. If you've got issues or obstacles which are just getting in the way of you putting your trust in this God for yourself, then let's discuss them. But you know what? Their God is real. And he's speaking to you right now, and he wants you to know that he wants to be your God too. Don't know how many of you have come across this phrase. FOMO stands for fear of missing out. It's actually a real thing nowadays, apparently. Move on. There we go. Fear of missing out. In his book, Eye Disorder, letter I disorder, Larry Rosen says that 50% of teenagers and young people today become moderately to highly anxious if they can't check their technologies as often as they would like to. Whenever they hear that buzz or that beep, this kicks in, the fear of missing out. I need to look at it. I need to check it right now. What am I missing out on? What has somebody posted? What they might have said about me? Fear of missing out. They have to check it out. Their God doesn't want you to miss out. He sent you a message that he wants to be your God, that he can be your God. Don't miss out. Check it out. Surely it's worth investigating, at least. And you know, God hasn't finished with Jacob yet. He says one more big thing, one more amazing truth. That happens when their God becomes your God. In verse 15, God says to Jacob, I am with you. I'm with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go. And I'll bring you back to this land, and I won't leave you until I've done what I've promised you. I am with you. I'm always with you. That's the kind of God I am. Jacob, you might have thought you were leaving me behind when you left your family and you left that place. No. I am right here with you now. And wherever you get to tomorrow on this journey, I will be with you there. And the next day for the rest of your life, wherever you go, I am with you. I am God. And I'm with you, beside you always. And you know, this promise is not just for Jacob. This is the promise for everyone for whom he is your God. The psalmist says in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Do you know how he describes God in that psalm? The God of Jacob. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In Psalm 139, the psalmist is just meditating on this thought about where is God's presence? How is there anywhere I can go which will be away from God's presence? Where can I go? Can I go up a mountain or to the deep depths of the deepest ocean in the dark? Can I hide somewhere? There is nowhere I can go where God is not there. And it was Jesus himself who promised, just before he ascended into heaven, I am with you always. You didn't know I could do that. I didn't know I could do that. This promise blew Jacob away. Completely blew his mind. This God of his father and his grandfather was now speaking to him and said this to him. And when he wakes up in verse 16, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, what? God is here. This God is here with me, speaking to me. Surely God is in this place. If you're here this morning because this is for you, this is God's place. This is where you come to meet with God because God is here. I want you to see this morning what Jacob sees here. That it's true that God is here, but he's not just here. He's not restricted in any way to a special place or a special location or a special building. You can know his presence with you wherever you go, everywhere you go. It's so important that we do meet together like this as God's people. It's so crucial, but there is so much more that's available to you. God isn't restricted here. Don't box him in. Don't leave him in here when you walk out that door later on. You can know the presence and the power of the living God with you always, wherever you go. You need never be alone. Never. Never alone at home or in your workplace or in your school or when you go to the gym. You can know that God is with you. Never face anything alone. Never face anyone alone. You can know that God is with you. Never alone in whatever you're feeling. Never alone in whatever you're thinking. Never alone in what you worry about or what you're fearful of. What feels overwhelming. What you're grieving for. Never alone. You can know that God is with you. Never alone in the successes and the joys and the good times. Never alone when you have to make decisions. When you're facing temptation. In the relationships that you have. When you're trying to tell people about Jesus. Never alone. Never. We've just begun something called the Start Course over in Malden Manor. It's a way to help people explore the Christian faith. It was put together largely by this guy. His name is Robin Gamble. He's a vicar, an Anglican vicar in Yorkshire. And he tells a bit of his own story as part of the course. And he says, looking back on his Christian life, two things really that he's learned about God. And they are, first of all, that God is an ever-present friend and guide, always with him. And secondly, that he gives him a sure and certain hope as he looks forward to eternity. So simple. God is always with him. Always. Do you know that? I think that's a different question to do you believe that? There's a sense, I think, as Christians where we can say, yeah, I believe that. Where is God? Oh, yeah, God's everywhere. Yeah, of course he is. That's the kind of Sunday school answer. But do you know it? Do you know that God is always with you wherever you go? Are you convinced of that? Are you aware of his presence? Does it affect the way that you think and the way that you act and the way that you feel? Because it should do, and it can. And when this realization hit Jacob, we read in verse 21 that he was transformed by it. And he says, from now on, you know what? You're not just going to be their God, you're going to be my God. And the grabber, the selfish one, the one who's for Ophar has been trying to get everything in for himself, begins to give back to God. I'm going to give you a tenth of everything that I have and everything that I get. He was transformed by an encounter with their God. He wanted to be his God and promised to be with him always. For me, that happened when I was 17 years old. It was when I was 17 years old that I put my trust in the God of Keith and Janet and Brian and Morris. And he's been with me ever since. And there are times, sometimes quite long periods of times, when I've kind of lived my life with really very little conscious awareness of that's true, but I want to know it more. I want to know it always. We have an enemy who wants to forget that this is the truth. I have an enemy who wants to distract me with other stuff all the time. But I have a God who promises that he is with me always. Always. We started with a question. I want to end with another question. This is what I sense. We were thinking about this in Malden Manor a little while ago, and this is a question that I sense God was asking us there, and I think he's asking us here too. God says to you, I am with you always. When are you with me? When are you with me? When do we have that dedicated one-to-one time where it's just you and me, where we can work on our relationship, which then enables us to live this life with an all-the-time awareness that God is with you? Because I think absolutely knowing that God is with you changes everything. Their God, your God, always with you God. Of those three, where are you? Let's pray. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. Father God, we thank you for this amazing promise. And by your Spirit, I pray that you would help each and every one of us to know in the depth of our being that this is true. And to live every moment with you and for you. Our God, now and always. Amen.